Welcome back to the Sneak Ranks podcast with me, Danny, aka at Roystinho, and my two good friends and co-hosts. What are the names again? I can't. It's been so long, man. I can't remember. Oh, it's Nicole at Miss Eves. Hello, Nicole.
Round of applause. It's
Hey.
been a minute.
And Henry, aka at Blacklisted. Good evening.
Yes, my people.
Yeah. My people, your people. I think they're
My
my
people.
people. Are you saying they're your people? Or are they our people?
My
Whose people are they? They're
people.
yours, right? Okay. You reach out to your people. Yes, hello, welcome back, everybody. We've had a couple of weeks of absolute manic for all three of the Sneaker Podcast hosts. But we're here again. So I'm gonna throw straight into it. It's been a few weeks. Nicole, throwing it over to you first. Anything going down in the last 3 weeks or 2 weeks or how? I can't remember any weeks. It's been a few weeks. Let's go with that.
Well, we're back and we're better. What has happened in the last few weeks? I feel like life's just been life in, work has been busy. There's not really too much to report. I feel like, do you know when so much happens that you just kind of like, what has even happened? Has anything even happened? But I guess we've all been busy since we've not been podcasting. And so yeah, not a major update from me, to be honest.
Henry, anything going down in sunny London? Not so sunny
I've got a
London.
latest pickup.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It's Adidas.
Wow,
What?
shock. This is not even
I
rehearsed, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We are actually stunned at this news.
it this the next bit's gonna stun you guys even more. It's an Ultra Boost.
Oh,
Ooh.
why? What?
Why? Why? Oh.
So it's to be fair, this shoe's been it's been a want for the longest, not a grail, but a want, a long one. It's Ultra Boost collab with Haven. Haven being a Canadian store in Toronto and Vancouver, and they did a collab back in 2017 when Ultra Boost was the lick. And surprise, surprise, it's a triple black shoe, but without the cage. It's a really, really lovely shoe. I've always wanted it because it was just different from your typical Ultra Boost. And yeah, I managed to shift some wares that I no longer needed and decided to treat myself with a pair of Ultra Boosts that I've wanted for the longest. So,
So, did you pick these up out of a bargain?
slightly over retail, just because they're becoming a little bit harder to find. And as the culture has progressed into your Off-Whites, Travis Scott's, Sambas, Gazelles, whatever else is in vogue, yeah, Ultra Boost, it just seemed to be a little tricky to get hold of. So yeah, I pulled the trigger thanks to Nicole on Vinted.
Oh.
Yes, my first Vinted purchase.
Oh, well done.
And
Here we go.
yeah.
Well, how bizarre. That leads nicely into what I've been doing over the past few weeks. And I too have discovered Vinted. I've never used it before. Never, ever not bothered about Vinted. It's just like, it's just me too much hassle. And so I've been thinking, I've got quite a lot of events to coming up. So I've been shouting out. So, Gwalior Classics, who does the tracky tops, I get a lot of the tracky tops from. So Andy goes, "Oh, I've seen a really nice tracky top that I think you'll like." I was like, "Oh, sweet." He's like, "Have a look at it." He's like, "Yeah, nice one." And he goes, "Oh, I tell you what, why don't you just buy it instead of me getting it and then like passing it on type thing?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, nice one." Send me a link, and it run Vinted, and it was like, it wasn't a camo, but it was like camo tracksuit top, right? And it was actually a Hue. Is that what you say? That a Pharrell Williams, like, but it was an Adidas one. But it didn't. It wasn't over Pharrell Williams. It was like, it looked really cool. But the person still hasn't got back to me. But what it did do, it sent me down the wormhole of Vinted, right? And now I'm like at five Vinted. I know, what am I on? two pairs of pants, four tracksuit tops, and just like I've just lost myself like down this, and I'm
Rabbit
just no trainers, right? Oh, in fact, actually, I've not bought any trainers, but I found a pair of trainers on Vinted. So I like that you can favorite stuff and you can just flip through all your favorites and you can try and kind of work it all out. But I found an absolute belter. So I got, do you remember the Island series, Adidas stuff? So
Yes,
have you
gosh.
seen that? Oh, Henry will know the blue zip up that I got that I wore for the Spezial thing, right?
Yes.
And that cost a little pretty penny, right? And I don't mind sharing it, it was £140, right? And it was almost new, but they're like super hard to find. Anyway, this girl on Vinted was selling the tracksuit top, which is the white tracksuit top of it. She didn't know what it was. It was just listed as a white Adidas tracksuit top, right? £40, brand new.
Shut the
Woo!
front door.
I whipped that
Stop.
straight up. And then, yeah, and then I've just been buying and buying. But I'll tell you
This
what.
is the problem with vintage. Like, once you start, it's a slippery slope. It's like a TikTok shop. Once you start, like, you just can't stop. And not just that, but I think buying and selling. Like, now I'm looking for things to sell just because I get a thrill out of selling things, just not taking it to the post office.
So
Oh.
we can hold you responsible for this new addiction.
Yeah, well, peer pressure. You didn't have to do it. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Peer pressure.
It
Wow.
is good that I've noticed that, Danny. Like, I've been on Vinted. Sometimes I just go on it to scroll like social media, and you see things like brand new, and people actually don't know what they are. Like, even like trainers, they'll be like black Nike shoes, and I'm like, do you just not know
Yeah,
what they are?
and
It's crazy.
I know some of the top like, and I've just been terrible of like, I was trying not to go too mad, right? Because when your favorite stuff, I know that this is a training podcast, right? But let's just talk about vintage, right? Because I just think it's something we don't talk about. But when you favorite something, it tells the person that you're buying from it's favorited.
Oh, I didn't
And
know that.
then, yeah, well, because then people come back at me and go, oh, do you want it for a tenner
Oh,
off? So I've
and you're
seen
like,
like a
yes,
really nice
that in my bag.
and I Adidas Gore-Tex jacket, which I'm thinking for walking the dog is absolutely perfect. But I'm like, well, I've been sat in the garden without a t-shirt on today, right? It's been so hot in Leeds, right? It's
It's been
been
like 13 degrees.
no, I can absolutely verify because I fell asleep in the garden, right? And the kids came home from school. I'm like, Dad, you look a little bit sunburned, right? Legit, it was like so warm in my garden. But there was like Gore-Tex jackets and stuff, and I thought, oh, I don't really need to buy a Gore-Tex jacket now, but it was like £70 brand new with tags, like for an Adidas Gore-Tex jacket. And I'm like, this is like the find.
Danny's dream.
It's just, how did we live without it? And I'm only a week in, right? I'm there.
Hi.
I feel like we're going to need a Vinted update every podcast now. Like, what Danny's bought on Vinted?
The worrying thing is, it seems to be quite a lot, right? Because just things, right? I bought a few like Carhartt pants because people go, oh, worn them, tried them on. And I picked up a pair of like £100 pants for like £30.
Crazy, isn't it?
And you're like,
Insane. Crazy.
people are nuts, right? Like, but I guess if people aren't looking, or I don't know.
You know what? I want to say this. If anyone's listening that works at Vinted or knows someone that works at Vinted, can you get them to contact Danny through the Sneaker Annex via DM on IG? And basically, we want you guys to sponsor the show. There.
Literally.
Putting it
Oh,
out there.
sponsored by Vinted.
Literally a free, it's like a free sponsor at this point. We're just talking about
I
vintage.
would I would be buying some. What did I buy? We'd have a section every week. What did we buy on Vinted this week?
We're just gonna see like TikTok calls from Danny, like, check out my vintage
Oh, damn.
daughter.
That's what I could do. Yes.
There we go. Content ideas.
I'm not too sure if I'm down with. I've tried a little bit of TikTok. I'm not too sure if I'm down with it, to be honest. It's a bit too. It's a bit too young for me. I can do a bit of YouTube and the odd picture on Instagram, and I think that's my limit
I
for
hear it.
social media. But we might get onto social media in a little bit anyway. But I think it's probably a good swing to get straight across to News with Nick.
I feel like, do you know what? Before you play this theme tune, you need to say the best part of the podcast, News with Nick. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't just drop it in, like,
Powered by
please nicely
Pedro.
into News with Nick. Do you know what I mean?
Powered by Pedro.
It
So you
powered by, wow, News with Nick powered by Pedro. We sound like a food chain.
want this.
But anyway, here we go, guys. News with Nick, best part of the podcast, powered by Pedro. And this week, we are talking about Nike putting the air in Paris. So, as you may or may not know, it's the Olympics this year. And Nike are launching a shoe, which is the Pegasus Premium. So, it's quite a, it just, I'm assuming it's a running shoe. It looks like a technical shoe, to be fair. Obviously, the shoe originates in 1987, so they're kind of bringing it back with a platform, doing like a modernized shape, and they're kind of basing it around the Summer Olympics. However, it's not launching until 2025, so I'm not entirely sure why they've done this whole inspiration behind the Olympics in Paris, and then they're launching the shoe next year. I feel like make it make sense. But to be fair, it's quite a nice shoe. It's great, like I say, a small guy shoe, because I feel like it's going to give you a lot of height. Colorway is nice. Like, I think, do you know what? If I was a runner, I would wear these shoes. I would wear them. But yeah, I think, like I say, technical shoe. There's, from what I'm seeing, there's a couple of colorways, and yeah, it's Nike put in the air in Paris, I guess. And I think it's a good thing, to be fair, because I guess, you know, Nike have got a massive, like, link to Paris. Paris is obviously one of the most, like, fashionable cities. Just kind of makes sense, really. What do you guys think about it?
Danny, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I kind of like it. I'm always, so one of my favorite pairs of trainers that I've got, right, and it is actually a pair of Nike Air Max, but a pair of Air Max 95s from 2004, and they are the Olympic edition Air Max 95s with the Greek flag on the tongue, all the different colors down the sides that would go, the white leather. Unfortunately, the sole crumbled. I think it was about, I must have slid them on in like 2020 for something, just maybe a picture, and the sole crumbled, and it kind of like kind of went. So because of that little, and we always talk about the nostalgia thing, don't we, and things that link us back to why we like trainers and things like that. So I'm always kind of excited when it, and maybe sometimes falsely, because sometimes nothing comes off the back of the Olympics. But I always want some like good Olympic kind of sportswear or something to link into the Olympics. Now, I'm going to be brutally honest, I'm not too sure the Pegasus is my shoe, right? But if I was a runner, because I feel like they're trying to make it more of a technical running shoe rather than a lifestyle shoe this time around, and some of the stuff that they're coming out with, I do kind of like it.
It's a cool shoe. I think, like, before Henry jumps in, I think I do quite like the Pegasus silhouette. It kind of reminds me of the Flyknit era, and I quite like that. Like I say, I think definitely a technical shoe. It's not something I would wear. It's something I probably, you know, like a lot of us girls, we might just wear like gym wear as like a daily thing. I'd probably wear it as something like that. I think just for me, just how big the sole is, because I do have some like Zoom Hemps. Do you remember those when they dropped? And very similar vibes. Love the shoe. I even, they're at my parents still. And I try them on. Every time I go to my parents, I try them on. Because every time I go, I kind of bring a pair of trainers back with me. And I'm like, oh, four. And I was like, I really want to take these shoes. I love the colorway. I love everything about the shoe. But I put them on and I literally grow like 3 inches. And I'm like, it's like wearing heels. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like those would be quite similar.
Do you look like the girl who's going around at the minute on
And
social
no,
media,
on
like the really
TikTok.
tall girl,
The tall, she's
like
called
who has
like
to duck
Tiny or
underneath?
something. Do you know
Yeah.
what? I saw her on, literally saw that on TikTok today. That's so funny that you mentioned it. She is huge, isn't she? Bless her. She's
She
my, I'm
is
not that tall.
so,
Let's calm down. But
so tall.
yeah.
Yeah.
But
Call the
I
giraffe.
think it's a good shoe. Do you know what? For me as well, I'm not a dark trainer girl, as we always say. Like, I don't really like the dark colours. I prefer a white silhouette. Whereas this, it's kind of got the one I'm looking at anyway, it's kind of got like a black like back and then like almost like a goldy beigey colour at the front. And then it's got like an orangey red strip all the way through it. And I just think it's nice. Like, it looked nice in the gym as well.
No, I never go to the gym, so I won't know. Henry, what do we say?
Oh, this shoe. The Pegasus just comes with a lot of history,
I
and
knew he was going to say that. Oh my God, I wish I'd have just said it. You know, when you think something, and I'm like, no, just say it. And then you said it, you literally said it. Here comes
it's
the
true.
historian, Henry.
Hey, it comes with a lot of history, but just focusing on the shoe for a sec, you talk about the shoe being technical, and yeah, it is basically in terms of the tech that is fused into that shoe. You've got the air unit, which is the orange strip, which is the air bubble that's in the shoe. You've got the Nike React sole plate, which is from the Nike React shoe that came out just before 2020. And then you've got the Zoom X tech, which is on the midsole of the shoe. So it comprises of three different techs on the sole plate alone of the shoe. Talk less of the leather, and I think there's some textile. I ain't got the shoe in front of me, but the picture of the shoe in front of me. But there are elements of other tech that's involved. So they fused those techs all together, and of course, it's added a huge volume of height on the shoe. So for the shorties amongst us, you
Stunning.
won't be out of place.
Yeah.
I like the shoe. The shoe's amazing. I wouldn't mind running in them, so using it for its actual purpose. But just to add as well that that shoe, even though it's coming out next year, the release of the shoe, should I say, or the launch of the showcasing of the shoe coincides with all the other shoes that will feature in the Olympics, which was the whole point of Air in Paris or Nike in Air or Air in Nike. Well, I forgot the name of the exhibition, but I think for all the different sports discipline that will feature in the Olympics in Paris this year, Nike have done a shoe for that discipline. So for track, you've got a multitude of different shoes. For football, you've got oh, I've forgot the name of the boots. It's a Zoom Air boot. For wrestling, even breakdancing, they've done a shoe for breakdancing.
Oh,
Like,
I
can you
need to
believe
find
it?
that shoe. I
Love
reckon
that.
that one will be good for me. You know, I think as well, I was just thinking then how the podcast is, it's great because it's kind of like Danny just comes on, talks about Adidas. I'm kind of just here for the aesthetics. Like, if you need like an outfit together, I'll help you out. And then Henry just pours out all this history and like actual knowledge that probably a lot of people want to hear, and me and Danny just aren't filled with. So I'm here for it.
Yeah, so. And I think also as well in the exhibition, they've done an AI version of shoes that of what shoes would look like in the future. So, but it's yeah, it's just so much going on. It's Olympic year. Not to leave Adidas out, they've done their own version
And nobody
as
cares.
well. Yeah, not so much an exhibition, but they've launched, is it 49 pairs of different shoes that will also feature at the Olympics as well. But yeah, I've already given you my thoughts. I don't know what else to add.
Think you've done enough, Henry. Powered
Yeah.
by Henry. Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
And I think the only other little bit of things in the news is just more of a gentle nudge rather than more news, although there's a little bit more news into it. Obviously, as you all know, me, Henry, and Nicole are doing a live podcast at Laces Out in a couple of weeks' time. So that is on Saturday, the 18th of May in Liverpool. We can let you know one of the special guests. So we were trying to get special guests on. We do have Benji Bluntshank, who's coming on just to talk about. I don't really want to spoil for people what we're going to talk about, so we're not going to let on about what we're going to
You've
talk
got to
about.
be there. Be there or be square.
You've got to be there. But so that's exciting because Benji's super cool. Obviously, some of the creations that he makes and kind of brings to life, it's just some of the pieces are just incredible. And also, there's going to be a super special giveaway on the day as well. So there will be a chance for you to win something from the Sneakonics podcast on the day, as well as many more things that will kind of tease leading up to it that me, Nicole, and Henry are going to try and get. We want you guys to be involved at some point as well. So we'll drop that in. So if you've not already got tickets, go over to Releases Out Instagram page. There's a link on there and get your tickets. Get down early. There's like ultra tickets, there's different levels of ticketing. The earlier you get in, the less crowded it will be around me, Nicole, and Henry, and you can get pictures with us all and all that kind of lovely stuff. Henry's looking thrilled at the thought of people coming up and having pictures with Henry at the Laces Out show, but
I
yeah,
didn't become that famous, but hey.
100%. Nicole's definitely there for the pictures.
Course.
The aesthetics.
Just, but I'm letting you in on a secret, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. There's a certain angle and side for Nicole. Like, if you've
Yes.
ever seen any like video stuff that when we did the podcast plus stuff, Nicole had to stand on a certain way. I was like, are you for real? Yeah, there is a certain
It's a
side,
good
there's a
side.
certain angle.
The
Oh,
girls
just
know.
a bit.
The girls who know, no. You've got to get the angles.
Correct. And with that, I think that's the end of News with
Yeah.
Nick, powered by Henry.
Well, hey.
Did I get that right in the outro?
Kind of. We're close enough. We'll get there.
Well,
So I figured, given that Nicole has directly influenced us with our newfound love for Vinted, I felt this podcast's main topic is kind of apt given where we are with the new sneaker landscape. And talking of influencing, I kind of just wanted to have a conversation in regards to whether sneaker influencer or influencing is dead or not, and just literally just chew the fat and just see what you guys think in regards to influencing generally.
I feel like I'm going to jump on this one first, considering my job role title is influencer manager. So I kind of hope it's still
Come
relevant. Otherwise, I'll be out of a job. Let's start
on.
there. Do you know what? I think this is an interesting topic, and I feel like it's something I've discussed, like at work with friends. I think influencing in general is an interesting place at the moment. I think there was a point back in the day it was non-existent. People didn't even know what it was. People were just like getting gifted products and posting pictures. Like paying for posts was never a thing. Whereas I think now, obviously, it's become such a massive thing and almost kind of stepped over the line a little bit where people are almost bored of sneaker influencing because I think how we see it, like how I see it as like an influencer manager and even a consumer, when I'm looking on someone's Instagram, TikTok, whatever, I want to buy the product because I like how it looks on the person, but also because they're interested in it. So I think it kind of depends on the dynamic of influencing, if that makes sense. Because I think if it looks like an ad and it just looks pushed and it looks forced, then no. But I think like when people produce content that's authentic to them, organic, and just makes sense and is also like relevant, I think then it makes sense and it is still alive. I think it will be alive for a long time, but I just think the way in which influencers and brands kind of the content out there will be a little bit different going forward. Because I just think, obviously, times change and people change. And I think one thing that someone said to me the other day, which it kind of hits the nail on the head, nowadays, people want to be part of a community rather than an audience. And sometimes when an influencer is pushing product to someone, they almost feel like an audience. They're like, oh, like you're better than me almost. Like you've got this product and I've not got it. And you're showing me what I could, like, I've not got. Whereas, like, being part of a community is like, oh my God, like, look at this product I've got. Like, you guys should get it. Like, it's, do you know what I mean? It's more of a inclusive aspect. And I think as long as we kind of go down that authentic route and continue to go down that authentic route, we'll be fine. Like, I literally seen a couple of guys post today. And like, the one guy I saw it was obviously like an ad, like for an Adidas Samba. And he put, well, I don't know if it was an ad, but it was kind of like he kind of made a joke out of it and linked it to the whole Rishi Sunak thing, was like, how to style your Sambas. And then he literally just threw the shoe in the bin because Rishi Sunak had worn it. And it's almost like it's just that tongue in cheek sort of marketing, if that makes sense, rather than it being like here is a shoe. You should buy it. So yeah, I think it's still alive. I think it will be alive for a while, but I think the way in which influencers do it will change.
So let me ask you a question, Nicole. Given that
Mm-hmm.
this is your remit, what you do for your daily bread, in your opinion, what is influencing? What does it mean to influence someone?
I think influencing someone is just getting someone interested in the product the same way as you are, really, like inspiring someone to wear that product, inspiring someone to be maybe not even buy it, but just be interested in it. And I think it, like you say, it doesn't have to come down to specifically buying a product, but maybe like learning about the history of a brand and just kind of being like creating like a vibe of like inclusivity. I think that's what influencing is. I think back in the day, it literally was just selling products. It was another form of marketing, and it was literally just like, let's get our product out on as many people as possible to make it as visible as possible and look like everyone wants it. Whereas now, I think it's more of a like, this is a product. Let me teach you about it. You know, like, this is what I like to wear. If you want to look like me and wear outfits like I wear them, then, you know, kind of buy it.
Cool. So based on that, do you think influencing or being an influencer has gotten a bad rap because initially it was seen as a numbers game?
Yeah, I think influencing has definitely got a bad rap for the simple fact of one, I think a lot of people are just pissed that they don't do it, if that makes sense. Because obviously, as you'll know, as we all know, influencers do make a lot of money. Like it's you know, if that's what you're in, like they're making probably more than most people make as a salary, as like a monthly sort of pay. So I kind of feel like that's an angle of like a bad rap, but I think it's become a bad rap because a lot of there's been a lot of influencers that will just do anything. Like they'll do any brand deal, they'll push any product, they'll push anything. And it almost loses like the authenticity because people are like, is that actually a really cool product? Or am I just being force fed this product because a brand has paid this person thousands of pounds to push it? Do you know what I mean?
Definitely,
I get that
definitely.
100% because so ever since I've ever done the Anik, Sneaker Anik, the YouTube, the Instagram, and all that kind of stuff. I've only ever tried to be true to myself. Because originally we just set it up as like friends showing the product that we used to buy. And it was just for that community sense, right? It was like, oh, look, this is kind of what we've got. We did it for a bit of a giggle. Didn't think it would do anything. Who's bothered about seeing someone in the, well, I was probably at mid-30s when it all started, you know, talking about shoes and getting drunk. Well, people did like it, right? And then you get brands getting involved, and it's really like, from my point of view, it was difficult at the start because you're like, everyone was like sending you products and stuff, and you're like, oh yeah, cool. And then all of a sudden, I remember we were like, we don't even like this stuff. And so very quickly, we kind of shut it all down and was like, unless it's something that we were going to buy, then I'll do it, right? And if it's not, I'll just politely say that's not for me. Or I have had a few funny conversations where I've gone, it's just not for me. And I remember one brand has gone, well, can you say it's not for you and just say that you don't like it? Just to get... And I kind of respected that, right? Like they just wanted something out of there. And for me to almost, I didn't completely bash it because that's not my style, but to kind of say that. But it's funny when you say about the hate, like I still get like a few little funny comments about like the Spezial stuff. Like you only say it because you only say what you're doing because you're given the product and stuff. And I'm like, wow, that's not even the case. Like I only get the products because I was buying the product and I was showing it originally. Like if people think that it's not authentic, then you must be mad. Now, if all of a sudden I start, if I reviewed the Travis Scott that came out this week, right? And I was like, oh my God, look at this Travis Scott. This Travis Scott's amazing. I'm going to be wearing it all summer. People would be like, ah,
No,
what?
you're not.
No, you're not. Who's paid you to say that?
Yeah.
Right.
So, do you think there's a certain level of responsibility as an influencer that needs to come across? Or do you think that given where influencing is, forget sneakers for a sec, do you feel that that responsibility is misplaced because people are chasing after products or brands to push?
I think, do you know what? I think it's a responsibility for both the influencer and the brand. Because I think one, brands are a lot more switched on now. Like for me as an influencer manager, when I'm sourcing influencers for a campaign, I'm looking for influencers that are authentic to that. I'm not looking at someone that has no relevance to the product I'm obviously selling. But I think it is also the responsibility of the influencer because if you're just accepting any deal, like I get it, like people want to make that bread. Do you know what I mean? Like you want to make the money, you want to pay your bills every month. Understandable. And I feel like influencers get a bad rap because they're just trying to make money like the rest of us. And obviously they don't have a 9 to 5, like they don't have a salary and, you know, wage coming in every month. So yeah, like sometimes they probably will accept deals that they may not necessarily agree with because they, you know, they need to pay the bills that month. But I do think it is the responsibility of the influencer to also be like, you know what, like this is what I like. This is kind of the direction that I take. This is the, you know, the sort of products that I work with. And kind of stick to that sort of avenue. Obviously, if you've got a broad range, then fair enough. But it, like, I don't find, like you said, Danny, for example, you're a sneaker influencer and it's your whole feed is Nike, and then you're literally like, oh my God, look at this Adidas. Like, I'm so excited about it. People are going to look at you and be like, I'm not buying that product. You're not interested in that product. So why am I
Yeah,
going to be
for
interested
real.
in that product? You know?
Yeah, I think you hit. There was a chord that you just kind of struck with me there. Like, if you're an influencer and your key thing is, I don't know, Air Max ones, just for example, and there's an Air Max one campaign, and Nike come along and go, oh, do you know what? You're perfect for that. Your value should be higher. So you should, if it's going to be a paid gig, you should say, look, I'm worth more to do this than me doing pushing Adidas Samba, right? Because you're buying my authenticity off me as well as my audience and all the rest of it. You are buying how good I am with your product. So people, and I don't know if people do or not or don't, like, the people kind of say, well, if you want me for this, which is absolutely up my street, I'm going to charge you way more than just some random person who's not relevant. I don't know if that actually is a thing yet, but.
Do you know what? I think there's two types, and I've had people genuinely just said no. Like, I'm not, this is, that's not my avenue. Like, I'm not, even if I've gone on their profile and I've been like, you know what, this product would look amazing on them, this outfit, like they've literally come back to me being like this doesn't make sense for the direction I'm taking. And I respect that because I feel like that's good for you and that's good for brands that you work with because you're actually authentic to what you push in. But then you have like creators that reach out to brands and to businesses, and they're like, oh, like I want to try push your product, and you look on the profile and you're like, why? Do you know what I mean? Like it makes no sense. So yeah, I think definitely, I think for example, like you say, if there's a guy that is pushing Air Max ones and he only works on Air Max ones, he may charge more because he's like, this is very niche and very specific to me. But it, again, it all just depends on like brands and budgets and things like that. Like I get it in the sense of paying people more because they've got a specific niche, but then at the same time, it does come down to like the content that you create. 'Cause you could be like a super like Air Max head, for example, but then not produce as much like as good content as someone that just posts like a mix of, you know, Nike products and streetwear products. So yeah, I think how I see it with influencer marketing is it's specific to the individual. And I think once a brand knows that and an influencer knows that, like it's the recipe for success. But I think if you've just got a product and you're like, let me get it on everyone, that's immediate failure because you've not targeted a community at all.
So, do the numbers actually matter?
In what sense?
In the sense of, say, for example, say, sorry, Danny, me and Danny, we're in the trainer space. Danny deals with Air Max ones, but he only has a follower of, say, I don't know, 5,000 people on his socials. I do Nike generally, but I have a follower of, say, 20,000. Who are you more likely to approach to do a campaign?
So
Danny, that only has a reach of 5,000 on his. But he specializes on Air Max One, or myself, that has 20,000, but has a broader understanding of the brand.
So for me, it depends on the outcome of the campaign. So for example, certain campaigns, you're like, you know what, we might want to work with more micro influencers. kind of work toward, because like for what I tend to find as an influencer manager is more time than not, people with smaller audiences, they may not get as much reach, but the people that are engaging with the posts are way more interested because they're a community. They see the influencer on the same level as them, if that makes sense. Whereas like some a massive influencer, for example, they've got an audience rather than a community. So yeah, they'll still be inspiring people, but they don't feel part of their like clique almost. So it depends what you want in. Are you wanting like brand awareness? Are you wanting to product sell through? How are you wanting to do it? Like, how do you want this product to be marketed, for example? So if you're kind of thinking, you know what, this is a really niche product, like for example, a Travis Scott, you're not going to put that in a community. Obviously, you would never need to influencer market a Travis Scott, but I'm just giving you an outline. You wouldn't put that in like a small micro influencer category because it's not really a niche product. Do you know what I mean? It's not like something where it's like edgy and or like a micro community, like almost like, oh, like we're exclusive. This is a product that we've kind of found because the masses kind of know about the product. The masses are probably going to wear it. So yeah, you are probably going to get the big hitters wearing that product. And regardless of whether it's a community or an audience, people are going to buy it. Do you know what I mean? But then there are some people that there will be communities where they'll look at something and be like, oh my God, I've not seen anyone wearing this, but I've seen people in my community wearing it, so I want to buy it. Do you know what I mean? So it really depends on the campaign. And like I say, it's all product relevant, campaign relevant. And again, brand relevant, because there are some brands that, for example, I've worked with companies where they will hire an influencer that's got 5,000 followers. But then I've worked with brands that won't work with anyone unless they've got over 100K followers. So it's really, it's also dependent on the specifics.
And I so
Definitely.
I feel that nicheness because, like the Spezial thing with me, that is the biggest thing I do in terms of working with brands, right? Obviously, we're like talking to Gary, and I get all the trainers, and I go to all the openings and all the events and all that kind of stuff. And I do the odd little bit as well, but I was in that community anyway. Do you know what I mean? And so I can understand why I was chosen, for want of a better word, right? There's other people doing trainer content out there, but when they thought, oh, well, we want to get it seen on YouTube or by somebody else and not just like product images, like I would have chosen me, do you know what I mean? If I'm without trying to be beginning, because it's completely legit, right? And that matters, because I only get influenced by, let's go away from trainers, right? Cars, right? So I will watch certain people reviewing cars because I know that their thoughts align with mine. So I can watch certain people and go, oh, I don't even care what they say about this car because they're just getting paid to do it, blah, blah, blah. But the people that I completely respect and like, they're not necessarily in my community, as in they're in my circle that I could just pick up the phone and talk to them, circle, but they're the ones that I respect. And I bought a car off a review from a guy, and I never drove it myself because the guy was like, this car is incredible, right? And I was like, well, if he says that, then I'm going to go buy a Renault Clio 200 because he said it's the best thing since sliced bread. And it was. So when I drove it, I was like, he was completely right. And that's what you want in it from the people that are pushing the product, or you want it to strike a chord, because trainers, cars, whatever it is, it's emotive, isn't it? We're doing it because we love it, because it's a passion, right? That's my thoughts anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
So, sorry. So, with that said, Danny, are there, not asking you to name names, are there, oh, what's the word? People on the socials that you look up, not look up to, but you respect in the trainer scene that we're in? Is there anyone that you say, yeah, I value your opinion because your opinion aligns with mine? In the same way, has there been people that you've looked at and thought, yeah, you did respect, but then because of a campaign that they did, which you felt wasn't true to them or true to what they were about, that you thought, you're not that person anymore? Have you ever been in such situations?
There's definitely people that you look up to, or you not look up to, but you respect, because you know, like, they're doing things and it's completely legit. And I've seen people, without naming names, I've seen people with like 7 star and like even size and stuff, and people at the events pushing the product and wearing this, and I'm like, this completely aligns with what I do, so I really like that. The other way, I may have done, but it's one of those things. If it's not a positive influence, I kind of brush it to one side, so I probably can't recall it, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? I probably, if someone does something that I'm not that bothered about, I probably just like wash over it.
Yeah.
I'm not, because fundamentally I'm not a hater, right? Some people have got to do it right, and then, but then it might just tail off if I like, you know. What am I trying to say? Like, if, not if I like them or not. I don't mean like that. But when I see something, I think, yes, the positive impact is way bigger than someone doing something that I'm not quite sure about. Do you know what I mean?
Sure,
Yeah.
sure. And for you, Nicole, from a if I could use the word agency point of view, have you ever encountered a personality, that's the word, that you've worked with in a campaign, but then you've realized that you're not true to what this whole campaign is about because you're
Yeah.
just literally pushing that agenda because you're getting paid?
Maybe more so, like, maybe not pushing the agenda, but there's, and again, I'm not going to name names and start calling people out on the podcast, but there's definitely someone that comes to mind. And maybe I'll tell you guys after. But basically, someone super well respected in the like the trainer industry, like sneaker world, super cool guy, like amazing guy, like get along with him well. But brands, not you, Danny, not you, but brands were kind of hesitant to work with him just because he would snap up any deal and just had no retailer, like, God, I can't think of the word. What is it called when you like loyal to any retailer, loyal to any brand? And I think because of that, although like his styling is unreal, because like even like I say, he's a great guy. Styles outfits amazing, get some amazing trainers, but just because he has no loyalties to any brand and any product, brands are a bit like, and retailers, for example, are a bit like, probably don't want him on that campaign or on that panel, for example, because he's just too fluid. Like, he just kind of goes wherever the money is, wherever the paycheck is. And I think that is like a big red flag for a lot of brands and retailers.
Could I play devil's advocate for a minute or so? What if that particular personality has a broad interest in terms of liking and appreciating different brands within the trainer culture? Is that such a bad thing then?
No, I agree,
That's a
because
great
like,
shout.
yeah, that is like definitely. But I think what a lot of brands and retailers, not all, but look for when they're kind of looking to sell a product, because necessarily that's what it is. At the end of the day, that's what it is. It's to sell a product. Do you know what I mean? So when brands are kind of looking for that, they're kind of looking for someone who has an interest in their brand or in their product, rather than someone like, for example, if you're Nike, you're not going to want someone that's pushing Reebok, Adidas, Puma, because you're literally you're paying someone who is also paid by your competitors and pushes your competitors. But then, like you say, we're all human. Like, I love Nike as much as I love Puma. Do you know what I mean? Like, I probably have, aside from like not having a massive Adidas collection, I do have a wide collection. It's not just all Nike. Like, obviously Nike probably does top it, but I'm interested in broad range of trainers. So from like me probably to a brand, they'd be like, oh no, like she's not loyal. Do you know what I mean? So it's a tough one. It is like, it's kind of, yeah. It, like I said, again, it all comes down to what the brand wants and how flexible they are, and do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely so. Sorry, Danny, did you want to jump in?
No. I was going to say, maybe does the person matter as well, like the personality of, not just because they wear Air Max ones, so they're going to be, there's got to be people out there that have a wide range, but because they've got something, maybe that they're really funny, or how they do something is just so different that regardless, you're gonna do it because I'm gonna give it to Henry because Henry's really funny and he's gonna do something funny with this product. I guess
Yeah.
it's just, I guess it depends on the person's style and how they do
Yeah.
it and what they do. Do you know what I mean? Like some
Definitely.
people do get it all. I'm just trying to think the guy in America, Seth Fowler, he gets loads of stuff, everything, all across the board. But he has a massive following and he's kind of like really relaxed about it. He's kind of got a good mannerism about him. Do you know what I mean? It's
I
like,
think it just depends on you as an influencer as well. Because, like you say, there's some people that are just so big and so well respected that most brands would just want that person in their product. But I think there are some people where it's like, yeah, you're big and yeah, you're respected, but you'll take any deal. Do you know what I mean? I think for me, like, it's very dependent on the product and the outcome and the objectives of the campaign. Yeah, definitely.
I think we can all agree before we move on, it's authenticity is that sells it.
Literally,
That
that's what I say all the time. Like every time. Go on.
and without wanting to bring it right back to me, but the Spezial stuff I've just done had like 50,000 views or something in a week. And because I got people, obviously you can see the analytics behind it, people were watching a video. And then they were going to like Spezial videos from the previous drop and the previous drop and the previous drop. And all of a sudden, the drops from like 3 or 4 years ago were like, they were getting loads of hits again because people buy into it, don't they? And people, oh, well, this guy is for real, right?
Yeah.
And I think if that, my advice to anyone who was doing it is just be real and be
Yeah, be
honest and
yourself.
consistent about what you're doing. And like, I don't mind, I know myself, right? And I'm probably not, it's quite straightforward and basic, but as well, you know what you're going to get, right? You know that all of a sudden you're not going to give me a shoe and all of a sudden I'm going to do something wild and wacky with it. You know, you're just going to get like good pictures on Instagram, a solid review, sat in front of my fireplace on YouTube, right? And that's,
Yeah.
That works for me and that works for my audience. So I don't change it up because everyone gets like, and just the little example, the amount of messages I get off the back of doing the Spezial videos is just unbelievable. Like my DMs on Instagram go mad, the comments on YouTube. But going back to that community thing, I reply to every single one. Like sometimes I'll just take a couple of hours out. And I will reply to every single question, even in the dark DMs. You know, we don't go in the dark DMs, do we? Because there's like weirdos in there, right? But I'll filter the weirdos out and I'll go, oh no, they're asking a legitimate question. And I'll reply to them and go, oh yeah, it fits like this, or I really like that bit, or whatever. And then it's the personal touch in it.
Yeah.
And then I make friends out of it. And I don't, I don't want to be that guy. And like Henry's seen, like when we go to that Spezial thing. I am not that guy. I am not the B. It's not the Danny show, right? I am like,
Is the Danny show.
yeah, but it's, I'll happily tuck myself in a corner and just talk to people who want to talk, but not make a big song and dance about being it. But I will be making a big song and dance at Laces Out because I've got a microphone, right? So you're going to listen to
Hey,
what I've got to say.
cool.
Here for
Nicole, is there anything you want to add just before we close out this topic?
no, I think speaking of trainers, we should probably just continue on to our picks of the week.
The triple pick.
Yeah. Nick.
Just triple
Huh?
pick.
Triple pick with Nick.
So, I'm going to kick this one off, right? Because it's my show and I can change the rules, do what I want, really.
Voilà.
So, every week we pick a shoe that's dropping this week, and we rate between ourselves. But because we haven't done it for a few weeks, there was a shoe that dropped, and it's still available. So that's my little caveat that you can actually still pick this up. So that's my little get out on that. And it is the Reebok Classic times End times the Streets.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you've seen this one, right? But I love the streets, right? I love Mike Skinner, right? And I've seen him quite a few times. And every time on stage, he has a pair of black Reebok classics, right? I don't think I've, he only wears black, right? I don't think he's wearing a colour or white t-shirt anytime I've seen him, right? And this goes back to the authenticity of a collaboration or an influencer or somebody pushing it. Even one of his songs, one of the lines in one of his songs, it says, let's throw on our classics and have a little dance, shall we? Right? And then they've made the shoe with the streets. And it's got the logo where the Reebok thing is. It says the streets. It's got the translucent sole with the streets logo on the bottom. There's a white pair, there's a black pair. And I just thought they are absolutely perfect. Because it made me think why I got into trainers. And my original thing was not Adidas. It was not Nike because it was in the 90s. And the thing that we all clamored for in the 90s was Reebok Classics, right? And probably what got me onto being into trainers and going on this like journey that I've gone through over the past, what, 30 years or whatever. Everybody at school had the white Reebok Classics with the blue kind of logo. And I would do anything to sort out the pair that was different. So there would still be white Reebok Classics, but they'd have something slightly different on the logo. So it wasn't the same as anybody else's. And because of that, Reebok Classics are one of my favorites. And so when the streets, a band I love, Reebok Classics, a shoe that is so important to me, fused together, I was like, oh my goodness, this is just such a good collaboration. So, and you can still buy them. They're still, you go on and you can still buy them on the website and probably in the store as well. So that is my shoe for this week. So, Henry, what are we saying?
Can't go. Everything you said is spot on. It's a British shoe. I think that's the other thing. It's a British shoe, and at one point Reebok was one of the no was the biggest brand in the world, late 80s, early 90s. So, with that, of course, everyone was wearing Freestyle classics and so on and so forth. So, in terms of the collab, staying on point, staying on topic, it's a good shoe. It's simple. I mean, it's a Reebok classic. I'm like, what more do I need to say or do to sell the shoe? Yeah, that's it.
Nicole.
So I love a Reebok classic, I'll be honest. I love a Reebok, to be fair. Reebok, yeah, it's up there for me. I love a Reebok classic because little like one for me, my granddad used to always wear Reebok classics. So every time I see Reebok classics, I think of him. Like every he would always wear all black Reebok classic. They were his like go-to shoe. And he would literally just buy them like the same shoe over and over and over. As soon as it got a bit worn, that was it. He'd have a brand new pair of Reebok classics. That was it. That's all he'd wear. The
Was he
leather
your influence for the white Air Force Ones? Because you knew that was new Air Force Ones, right?
clearly this is where I get it from. But do you know what, like I like Mike Skinner, I like the streets, I like the you like kind of like the history around the product. I like how it's an English shoe in terms of like the styling. I like him wearing all black, I think that's cool, but like as you already know, I don't really like all black shoes, so for that I wouldn't wear it. The colorway is giving Kill Bill with the yellow and black. Or if it's gold, I don't know, it looks kind of yellowy. I can definitely respect the shoe. I just wouldn't wear it personally because I just don't wear all black shoes often.
Yeah, and that's where this is my only thing, right? So I haven't bought a pair because I don't wear black, right? I don't wear black shoes. I know that's that, but they do the a white pair as well. But then part of me goes, well, the white pair isn't the pair that Mike Skinner would wear, so it doesn't kind of
Yeah, it
work.
doesn't make
So,
sense. It's not
but
authentic.
yeah, that's the kind of but it really is like that's it doesn't quite. But I'm not joking. I'm sat here. There's still a pair in my size on end, and I'm just thinking, even recording the podcast, should I just pull the trigger? I don't even
Do you know
know.
what, though? On the end website, there is a picture of Mike Skinner in a full black outfit with the white ones on. So technically, he has worn them and he's influencing the influenced. So, but the white colorway is much, much more wearable for me. I definitely like those with
Yeah,
the subtle hint of yellow.
the
Yeah.
white pair are good. Henry, Your pick of this week.
Well, mine's going to be pretty boring. So my pick of the week is the Nike Air Jordan 4 Industrial Blue, which really is the military blue. But the reason why Nike haven't used the word military is due to the sensitivities of the different conflicts that are going on in the world, namely Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, and the different wars that are going on. Hence the change of phrasing from military to industrial. Otherwise, it's a shoe that's made it, it's making its return. I think the last time it came out, and someone's going to correct me on this, I want to say 2012. I think someone's going to correct me. I think I've got the date wrong. The tooling for that shoe, apparently, it's as close to the original that came out back in 89. Again, happy to be corrected on it. But it's one that a lot of sneakerheads have been clamoring for a minute. It's got a Nike Air swoosh at the back as well, which is a big tick, in my books. And yeah,
I knew as soon as it had a Nike Air when I saw them, I was like, right. The first thing
that's
I did was I flipped them round and I was like, are these Nike Air? Because if they are, Henry's all over that. And if it was a
Yep.
Jumpman, he would not be even be able to entertain it.
Nope.
So, yeah.
Know
The
me
only
too
question
well,
I've got
Danny.
is, are they now, because I know everyone went wild over the SB Jordan 4s and the comfort and stuff, are they doing it? Or are they bringing this forward with the Jordan Falls to make them more comfortable, or do we not know?
No. However, rumor mill has been going overdrive in this, in the sense that following the Pine Green, the Jordan 4 SB Pine Greens that came out last year, rumor mill has it that they will do a military, or rather industrial blue SB4 in 2025.
Right.
That is the rumor.
Cool.
Interesting.
Decor, what we're saying.
Do you know what? Like, I like the shoe. You know me. I like Jordan 4s. I like the color blue. It's not one where I'm like, oh my God, I must get it, if that makes sense. I feel like I've got quite a few pairs of Jordan 4s, and I feel like I've got quite a few pairs in just colorways where I'm like, I'm glad I got them, but I don't really wear them just because, don't know, I just don't really wear them. So I do really like them. I love the Nike swoosh on the back. It's such a nice blue. Great shoe. I feel like, yeah, just good.
To be fair, again, rumor has it they're doing over a million pairs. So
Wow, so it's
potentially,
quite a big
Nicole,
list.
yes, it's a huge number. Potentially, you might be able to get them on sale.
Wow. There we go.
Potentially, you
If
say.
it was in sale, I'm copping right away. But am I like stretching myself to get them? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, I think the price point is, for me, it's a turn off. That's the only thing where I'm. Even though it's my pick of the week, I am hesitant. I think it's 180 or 190.
190 they are,
Yeah.
190. It's quite
Yeah.
expensive to not be super sure on them.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
now,
unsurprisingly, they're not for me. I like them. But I'm just going to throw it in. I don't want to go on too much of a tangent here. The Nigel Silvestre ones, the chopped down where they've got the Nike. Have you seen those that have just been shown?
yes, the bike
Oh.
air.
Oh, the bike air on the back. They look absolutely wild. Now, I still don't think I can. I've only seen a couple of pictures, right? I've not, right, because I have actually been super busy this week. I saw the bike air on the back. I thought that is just so good, obviously, for Nigel Silvestre. Are they a chopped down four as well? I
They are
feel
the chopped
like
out
they're like
fours.
chopped down. But they're not a
Why?
low, like almost like a mid. Kind
I
of,
was just gonna say,
that's
I think
very
that
Nicole.
I don't know if I found the right ones, but why are they selling for £11,000 on StockX? Am I
I
looking at the
didn't
right shoe? Because
send
these
us a picture. I'm curious now. Is it green?
£11,772. No, I just literally typed in bike air, but to this one, to be fair, is it Nike Jordan Airship PE?
No. We'll send you a picture. We'll send you a
Yeah, send
picture
it
of the
over because
shoes
I'm a bit
we're
lost. Th those ones
wearing.
are nicer, but £11,000?
And
Just stretching it a little bit for me there.
on to the last pick for this week, quite possibly the most predictable pick that we've ever done on the triple pick
What
with
do they
me.
say? What do they say? We save the best till last. So here we go. Launching
Go on.
30th of April 2024. I've been waiting all year for these shoes to drop. And I know we're only 4 months, 5 months in now. But the Travis Scott Jumpman Jack in the reverse mocha colorway. I'm just, yeah. Everyone has been giving me stick for them. I can't actually say I have saved them. I just need to go buy them. I haven't had a chance to go buy them, so I've managed to save myself a pair. So I'm very, very happy with that one. I'm quite worried because I have sized down in them because I feel like all my Travis Scotts, I don't size down and then they're a little bit big in the crease. So I have sized down, so I'm hoping that they are they're not true to size. But yeah, I think like everyone, I was talking to my boyfriend about them the other day, and he was literally like, "It's the ugliest shoe I've ever seen." And I was like, "It's really not. Imagine it in summer with a little skirt and a little crop top. Perfect." No, but I think, do you know what? I feel like it could be a very ugly shoe in a large size. Like I'm imagining like 9+. It's starting to look like a boot. Whereas like for me, I've obviously saved them in a size 5, and I think it'll look really like chunky. It'll almost give like a Jordan 3, Jordan 4 vibes. You know, that sort of like silhouette on foot. And I just think it'd look perfect in summer. I just think it's a great summer shoe. I'm glad that Travis has dropped something else because I feel like I said it to you guys on a few podcasts ago. Like he's launched a few like Jordan ones and stuff like that, but the colorway's just been a bit rubbish. Nothing like I've been screaming about. Whereas this, like I say, it's you know it resembles a reverse mocha colorway. And yeah, cream brown canvas. I'm here for it. What do we think, guys?
Henry.
Very quickly, I just want to say it's interesting that this shoe is the first lifestyle slash performance shoe that he's made. Not for me, generally speaking, but it's an interesting direction that he's going. And again, rumor has it that there will be other colors coming out. So yeah, watch this space.
Yeah, I mean, unsurprisingly, not a shoe for me that I would actually put on my feet, but I'm not mad at it at all. I like some of the stuff that Travis Scott's done. I like it when he does. So I've got a few pairs of Travis Scott's. I've got the SB Dunks. They're really good. I got the brown Air Max ones when they came out because I kind of liked the vibe. I feel like when he does something initially, I feel like he's got something right. I think when what frustrates people, or when people, what frustrates me is when you just get rinse and repeat colorways of like the Jordan ones and stuff. So when he brings out something new and something that's a little bit different, I kind of like it. Even if it's not for me, I understand that there's something about it. I just don't want to see colorway after colorway after colorway after colorway after colorway of these. That was my only thing. But like I said, I can see Nicole in them. And we may do on the 18th
May
later
do.
that.
That might be
We
my
may
trainer
do.
of choice. Who knows?
Boom.
And on that, folks, we are wrapping up this week. Thanks to everyone who is listening. Apologies. I said we were going to stop apologizing when we miss weeks, but we missed a few weeks now, and I have had a few almost threatening emails, DMs, saying, imagine if people started emailing me in going, what are you doing? And I got an email through, that'd be a bit wild. Please don't email me with your any grievances. But yeah, we will try and be a bit more consistent. Nicole, anything before you go and have your tea?
No, all good. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Henry?
Love, peace, and prosper, baby.
And as always, we'll see you on the next one.
See you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.